Well, I've got a little film clip here to start off with. This is my brother's grandson.
Drink coffee and devotion.
Where do you think he picked that up? This is what it means to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, so that they grow up understanding that they're supposed to be listening to God. Well, let me just pull this one up. I forgot to read this verse. Psalms 27:8. This is one you've heard a lot lately. This is one of my favorites. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. Do you know everybody doesn't hear that? There are a lot of people who get up in the morning or go. There are a lot of people who have a crisis in their lives. And when they have a crisis in their life, they don't hear God say, stop, come talk to me. Let's put this in perspective. God is a million miles away from them. And they're not thinking like someone who has an intimate relationship with the creator of the universe who has all wisdom and all power. It's like that escapes their mind. Come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. This is the description of the normal Christian life. Now, we come from a world that is lost. It's lost its bearings. It's lost touch with reality. It's lost touch with what our hearts really need. And we are separated from God because of our own selfish desires. And that's what sin is. And just like Romans 1, what we do is we have so many things that we want to do that we push God out of the picture until we have a crisis. Then we wonder, well, where is he? But we don't have that relationship in the heart that says, stop, come talk with me. I have the answers. We'll say Jesus has the answers. But the normal Christian life is someone who actually knows Jesus has the answers. And he knows where to get the answers. And God has given us his word because there are a lot of people who will tell you what God is like, but they don't know any more than you do. There are a lot of people who will tell you what God says to do, but they don't know any more than you do. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in the last days, there will be many, many false teachers. And I'll tell you, anyone who wants to click on the internet can find, we are surrounded with false teachers. And if you're someone who is going to get your concept of God and your guidance from other people who are going to tell you what God says, then you missed the point of why God gave his word. And you don't understand how you can communicate with him, because you're not trying to communicate with him through his words. You're communicating with him through a third party who oftentimes doesn't understand God themselves. And we have a lot of confusing things in Christianity that is led astray. As a matter of fact, the Bible predicts this. How do you think the Antichrist is going to come in? And we're going to have a great falling away of the church who leaves the church and goes out from us because they were not of us. Because if they were of us, they would not have gone out with us. But they're the ones that the Antichrist himself can deceive into a false gospel to leave the church. It's because their faith is not based on God's word. It's based on cliche sayings that other people have repeated over and over, and it has become the American gospel. And it has become one that leaves holiness out of it completely. It leaves repentance out of it. It leaves an understanding of how we have a relationship with God and what keeps us from having one out of it. And so people run through life really leaning on their own understanding and living just like the world and don't understand why God is not real to them. Why they don't hear God say, come and speak with me, and their heart pants for him as a deer pants for water in a dry and thirsty land. Why do they call them devotions? Because what they're supposed to evoke in us is a devotion to God. When we read the Bible, if we're reading it the way God wrote it to us, we should stand in awe of him. We should be in a place where we cannot believe that when we get close to God, as a matter of fact, when you read God's word, or when, you know, we were talking earlier today, when we hear the thanksgiving, a lot of times what happens is you realize, wow, that person has a deeper relationship with God than I do. I was in a circumstance like that and I didn't react that way. I haven't done those things. When we get close to God, we always are convicted that we are not living the way he wants us to. And if we want to live the way he wants us to, we got to have some major changes. How can you communicate with a holy God as a person who is weak in the flesh and has a tendency to wander and run off to fulfill themselves outside of God and outside of his will? How can you communicate with him the way you are? The devotions and reading God's word is there to humble us under the mighty hand of God. Because if we do that, he promises us in due time, he will what? He will lift us up. But there are a lot of people who want to be lifted up without ever humbling themselves under God. They don't want to see themselves from the standard that God wants and realize that they have some sin in their lives that they need to confess, and they need to have a change of thinking, which is what repentance means, to agree with God, and then they need some power from the Holy Spirit to enable them to be able to be free to live the way God wants them to. That's very, very important when you're approaching God's word. Now, we're in 1 Peter, and this section that Peter is going to do, you're going to notice, I'm going to read this from Psalms 34, because he is directly quoting from Psalms 34, word for word through most of it. And what I want you to see in there is that this was written in an Old Testament time to people who were trying to find God, but they couldn't find him because they didn't have what? They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They didn't have God's presence living in him. They didn't have Christ who died on the cross for our sins. He died on the cross for my sin that I might be forgiven because God wants me in his family. And now he lives in my heart, and the testimony of the Holy Spirit is one that makes our hearts cry out and say what? Abba, Father. God, you love me. I can't understand that. Why would you love me? Why would you see me a speck of dust, and yet you care to me? You're actually speaking to me in my heart where I realize you're here and you want me and you have a purpose for my life. This is so incredible, I cannot even comprehend it. Thank you. That is what it's supposed to evoke from us. But when you don't have the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and you see the difference between what God wants and what you think and do, well, that's not exactly comforting. And so the Bible says when you read the Old Testament, and what it's really saying is if you're reading it without Christ in your life, if you're reading the Bible without the Holy Spirit, you read condemnation. You read rules that you can't keep. You see standards that you can't live up to. You see things that God wants from you that you know you can't do. You see things that you have to lay down, that there's not something in your heart that says, why would I hold something that keeps me from being close to God? When I know he's telling me to separate myself from these things of the world that are not honoring to him, but they bring shame to him, why would I let those things capture my life when I can live free in Christ? But without the Holy Spirit enabling you to live free in Christ and to understand God's love, you can't understand the Bible. Peter's on the other side of the cross. He's reading Psalms 34, And he understands what God is saying. Because what's interesting about it is Old Testament, New Testament, you know what God's saying? The same thing. The difference is that now, like Jesus says, if you have ears to hear, you can hear it. There are many, many people alive today after the crucifixion that they read God's word and they don't hear God. They don't hear the message. They don't understand the message because they don't have Christ living in their hearts to reveal it to them. And so I'm just going to read this little section right here, and then we'll see about how far we get into Peter. But it says, "Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Peter doesn't have that line. He starts with the next one. But this is a very, very important section. It's written to people seeking God, and throughout the New Testament, people who fear the Lord are those who know him, right? People who live without fear of the Lord are the lost. Because there is a healthy fear of not having Christ in your life. There is a healthy fear of not having the Holy Spirit guide me. There should be a really healthy fear inside of me as a Christian to realize that I have a tendency inside of me. If I want to walk away, I can get my life involved in so many things that I forget God completely, and I can waste my life. So he says, "Come, children, and listen to me. I will teach you to fear the Lord." That's what leads to submitting to God. I can be humbled by the world. I can be humbled by reading the condemnation there for someone who rejects Christ. I can be humbled by a lot of things, or I can humble myself. I can say, "Hey, look, I realize that I can't live or have life without you. Lord, lead me, guide me, open my eyes to see where life is. Help me to follow you." I can submit to the Lord. And that means, number one, listening to God, listening to the word. And we do this over and over and over. And I don't mean to be like a tape that runs over and over and over, but you hear it every week. Can you follow God if you do not read your Bible? You're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself, and you're kidding everybody else who realizes that if you are not building a relationship with God, how are you going to face temptations? Because temptations in life are a question of, who do you love more? Do I love myself more? Do I feel like I can have my needs met in this world and I cannot trust God to do that? So am I looking everywhere to find security, to find acceptance, to find worth? Am I looking everywhere except God? Because I really don't believe that if I faithfully plod along patiently, that the expectation I have that God's will be greater than anything I could imagine will actually come true. Well, that depends on how well I know God or how much I want something else. Nobody overcomes temptation because of their will, not for long. And nobody overcomes temptation if they don't love the Lord. And nobody knows the Lord if they don't converse with him. And that's converse with him, not converse with people about him. They know him. They listen to his word. Next, they pray like Jesus did. I had a bunch of scriptures. I know I'm not going to get to them. One of these days I'll do them. But I had a bunch of scriptures about how people in the Old Testament prayed. Some of you who have been here for years have heard those scriptures before. They don't pray anything like we do. They come into the holy presence of God realizing that who needs change? They do. They don't need their needs met. God has already promised, and before the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says it again. He says, "God already knows what you what. And if you will seek me first, if you will seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all those things will be what? Added unto you. So do not worry." The Gentiles who don't know God are dominated by those thoughts. And if your thoughts are dominated by worldly things, it will bring what to your life? Death. The same death that Adam got, when he didn't physically die at the moment, because God has mercy and wants to see us all come to the knowledge of truth. But he was spiritually dead because he couldn't look or value God. He couldn't see those things. And so those prayers come basically saying, God, help me to know your will and to do it. I believe that you're leading me to the green pastures, to the still waters. Everything that I need in life, everything that I want in life, the reason you created me, the glory you want to give me as your child comes at the end of the road of following you. And so I'm not praying that you drop those things on me right now, or at least the ones I want at the moment, so I can go do something else with my life. We pray that God's will is done in our life, and that he gives us the strength and the understanding and the faith and the hope in him that we will do those things. And then the next one's the big one. We obey him. And you guys all know these scriptures. Jesus says, it's not the one who does what I want that loves me. He says, it's he that loves me that does what I want. Because he who doesn't love me will not do what I want. And so you can't bring the obey part first and have a relationship with God later. It doesn't work that way. You seek him as a child. He reveals himself to you in the place that you're able to understand at that point. And you follow him the best you can. And guess what happens? You start to grow, you start to understand, and your ability to do God's will expands. Your ability to understand what God's will is expands. There are a lot of people who've been Christians for 50 years. And you ask them and you say, what is God doing in your life right now? What is God's purpose for you right here? What? They have no idea. They just think that surviving and being able to have a good life and not do the really bad thing that messes things up or whatever. But what has God got you on this earth to do? Who is God working through you to touch? What is the eternal purpose for God? You think that the purpose of God in your life is for you to have a comfortable home, to be entertained, to not have problems? Didn't he promise us the opposite? That's confused thinking. It starts with, will I carve out some time to get to know God? If the answer to that question is no, then I think you really have to examine whether or not you love God. I think you really have to examine whether or not you truly know God. And that is what Christianity is all about. This is eternal life, that they might know God. That's what Jesus tells us. It's not this is eternal life, that they might live a more conservative lifestyle, that they might live not committing all of the sins that other people do, but some of them, and kind of liking some of them. It's not that. It's living in God's presence. In order to live in God's presence, you have to come into God's presence. And we just have so much. It's just, I don't mean to have that, because I love the truth when it's there, because it stimulates me to move further. But we have so much that's being preached in the name of Christianity that reduces Christianity down to something that a non-Christian can live. If you just clean your life up a little bit, if you just go to some religious activities, if you just have a heart that's kind to people, you know there's some lost people that are very kind to people. It's that thirst to know God. And let me tell you something. Nobody has it in the flesh. That's clear in the Bible. Who seeks after God? No one. No, not one, is what the scripture says. In the Old Testament, repeated in the New Testament. That's a choice I make to love God. And when I respond to his call to love him, and I seek for him with all my heart, not for what I can get. I loved what Faith said in the baptism. It's not about, I'm going to be a Christian because my life's a wreck and I want it to be better. I want to know the creator of the universe. I want to understand why I was created. I want to give my life to Christ. And that is where I start to develop the ability to live in his presence, where I become aware, just like Jesus is. I love that statement. He says, my Father is always what? He's always working. And so am I. And in first John says this. He says, those who are in Christ Jesus, they should live like he what? That's how he lived. A lot of people read that and think, well, he's walking around doing miracles, so I should walk around doing miracles. Well, you can see some people on TV who are doing that. But don't check them out. Do you see God working? And are you trying to work with him? Is that in your heart? That's the calling that God has for us, to serve him. Well, finally, he says, all of you should be of one mind. You know what that mind is? The one I just told you. That's the mind. That we value Christ, that we love Christ, we're seeking Christ. We understand there's nothing in this world more valuable than the love of Christ. And because of that, the more we understand it, though it's so deep, we'll never see the height or the depth or the width or the breadth of it. But each part that gets revealed to us, we actually stand in awe of him. And we want to worship him. We want to know him. And so in our hearts, the Spirit cries, Abba, Father. I've heard that call. Come and talk with me. And my heart responds, I'm coming. And we have that witness inside of ourselves that we know that when we stand before the judgment, God is not going to look at us and say, I don't know you. I don't know you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. And a lot of times people take that and they look at the lawless part and they say, oh my goodness, I got to make sure that I don't do something that's against God's law. That's not why he sent them away. Everybody who is coming into the kingdom is going to be blameless before God. That means that he will not hold them accountable for the things that they have done, because no one is going into the kingdom that doesn't have sin. No one is going to reach the standard of Christ before they die. Well, as a matter of fact, we're never going to reach the standard of Christ after we die. But we're going to be like him because we will see him fully as he is. But if we say we have no sin, we're calling God what? The Bible says you're calling God a liar. You've got sin in your life. All of us do. We're growing to become holy. If holiness is not a part of your concept, the basic concept of how you have a relationship with God, the holiness of God, the difference between me and what God wants in my life, a love for God that doesn't want to stay there because I think I can get what I want, and one that says, no, I don't want to think like the world, but I want to find and follow you and become and fulfill everything that you created me for. My life is yours. When we have that attitude and that mind, we know God loves us. We know God's pleased with us. We know God forgives us when we mess up. And we have a relationship with a person, and we start to understand his heart. That's what Christianity is about. Finally, if all of you should be of one mind, you know what? There's no way we're getting through the rest of this. That's probably a pretty good stopping place, don't you think? That's a lot to think about. What's funny about it is you hear people talk about deep things and everybody wants to study all of this complicated stuff that's in the scriptures. You know what deep is? Deep is understanding the very basics of what Christianity is. I'll guarantee you that if you set your heart to let God instill in you a desire for him and a love for him above everything else, and you seek him, you're not going to have any trouble understanding anything in the Bible. As you start to grow in that, all the pieces just start to fall together. That's what we need. So I'm going to give you just a moment to bow your head. And I am going to ask the band to come back up here. And I want you to just take a moment. And I want you just to respond to God about where you are with him. Not about with the rules that you know he set in the standards of your life that are written in the Bible. But I want you to respond to God about where your heart is. Do you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength? Or do you need some help with that from him? And I just want you to pray from your heart and respond with your heart, giving God what you believe he wants. Your love for us is amazing. That we could drift so far away and be occupied by so many trivial, meaningless things and be pulled into wasting our life away on things that we even know are not putting good things into our hearts and minds. That we could be so captivated by a social media that has no intention of exalting you, but exalts itself and everything around it in a way that we know what we're reading is not reality, and yet we read and read and read, and we watch and we watch and we watch. God, forgive us for trading life just to survive. And we thank you, Lord, that even in a place where we are, you see us, you care about us, you love us, and you speak to us. It's not just words on a page, but your Holy Spirit digs down in our hearts, and we know something's missing. And we know you're the answer. And so we do as you tell us in your word. We cry out to you and we just ask you to help us. Not because we deserve it, but because you love us and you want to come and lift us up. Lift us up. You have created us, each one, with the potential to do mighty great things. Jesus says greater things than he did when he was on this earth. We can be your tools in helping people see the light and become born again. Lord, open our eyes to reality. We lay our lives down for you as you laid your life down for us because we want to. Help our love for you grow. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.